Welcome to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Dr. Owen Strand, and I'll be your host. Join us each week as we engage the city of man with the biblical wisdom of the city of God. Mardi Gras for evangelical nerds. That's how you could describe the Evangelical Theological Society if you wanted to be a bit cheeky. This week in November is featuring the annual meeting of the Evangelical Theological Society, begun many decades ago by a number of neo-evangelical figures, including Carl F.H. Henry. In my book, Awakening the Evangelical Mind, I talk about the founding of ETS, as it's often called, and note how important ETS has been in giving evangelicals an outlet for their scholarship, an outlet that they would not have if such a society did not exist. This very week, I am presenting in San Antonio, Texas, three different presentations related to evangelical scholarship. I have one on the clarity of the biblical approach to gender dysphoria and transgender. I have a second on Baptist pastor theologians, and I have a third presentation on the friendship between Billy Graham and Harold John Ockenguy. Again, if you want to read more about the relationship of Graham and Ockenguy and also the founding of ETS, consider my book, Awakening the Evangelical Mind, which in a way tracks both of these matters. You know, we're here in 2016 considering the ETS and its role in evangelical life, and we've got to just note this firstly. Evangelicals believe that scholarship has value because God thinks. In other words, scholarly endeavor can sometimes seem like a waste of time to the average person in the pew or even beyond the church. Scholarship can seem like splitting hairs and the narcissism of small differences played out in conference rooms that feature debates and perhaps even arguments over such matters. In reality, scholarship is grounded, for Christians anyway, in thinking and beyond the mere ability to think, in the fact that God himself is a thinking God and has, in his kindness and his extreme kindness, given mankind the ability to think. And so Christians are those who have the privilege of recognizing this reality, not simply thinking and taking it for granted, but grounding it in a theocentric manner, recognizing that God himself is a thinking God. And so God has given us the capacity to think deeply. Again, sometimes thinking deeply, research, writing, is portrayed as a waste of time. It's seen as not being real work, real labor. We should certainly note that it's possible for people to spin their tires and waste their time in scholarly endeavors that don't really have any kind of practical value. There are definitely classes taught at schools. There are books written and articles produced and all sorts of other things that may or may not have a great deal of value. So let that be said. Not everything that is produced in the name of scholarship in either a natural or Christian sense has immense value. But we should note that because God has given us the capacity to think deeply, to reason together, to apply critical powers to tough questions, I think Christians have a pretty serious foundation for thinking deeply and for training young believers and our children, even before they're believers, to love the life of the mind. In other words, I don't think Christians are neutral about thinking about the life of the mind, about scholarship. I think that we have a massive stake in these endeavors, as I have said in previous weeks on this very podcast. We believe as Christians that we in fact glorify God when we think after him. We recognize, for example, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that thinking is the gateway to personal transformation. Anybody who wants to be transformed, who wants to obey God faithfully, who wants to honor him through the Christian life, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, needs to think, needs to have their mind renewed as they engage Scripture such that their heart and their affections will flow in a Godward direction. The Scripture ties these two things together, mind and heart, transformation and obedience. In other words, if we do not think at some level, if we do not wrestle with Scripture and embrace it as we go, we will not glorify God. Now, here I'm talking more about discipleship, but the same is true for those who have been given the great privilege of entering a calling that allows them to think for a living, that allows them to produce scholarship for a living. Most Christian scholars, I think, would not say that they are in their field, that they occupy their position, whatever it may be, for its own sake. They are not here, in other words, simply to produce paper from a printing machine or something like this. They are here to glorify God, to think thoughts after God. But we know that there's a range here. You can think unto God in a variety of disciplines at a variety of levels. In other words, you can converse among fellow scholars on intricate questions in your field, and I think that can have value. You can be part of a broader conversation in the academy that has more attention from a greater array of disciplines. You can be part of the conversation over, for example, just to take one discipline, over theology or exegesis that involves not simply scholars, but also pastors. You can be a scholar who attempts to help lay people think well after God in the image of Christ by the power of Christ. These and other endeavors all can glorify God. And my bigger point here is that we glorify God when we think after Him, and we lead others to glorify God when they recognize, per the first and greatest commandment taught us by Jesus Christ in Matthew 22:34-39, that Jesus Himself, out of the overflow of Trinitarian agreement, believes profoundly in the power of loving God with heart, soul, and mind. So we love God with our mind. Toward this end, we can say it this straightforwardly. Evangelicals should enjoy scholarship. We should take great pleasure in the life of the mind. Again, not for its own sake. We believe that we are called fundamentally to glorify God, and we believe, secondly, that we have some kind of responsibility to those we train to shape them in a Godward direction, in a direction that points them at the very least to greater reality, to truth, to morality, toward the possibility of God's intervention in this universe, if we're teaching in a secular context, for example. We can say this, evangelicals can enjoy thinking. We can enjoy the life of the mind. We don't need to feel sheepish about these endeavors. I'm reminded of this very week as I'm in San Antonio, Texas, at the Evangelical Theological Society, surrounded by hundreds, even thousands of evangelical peers who likewise enjoy thinking. It can be tough if you're a Christian who enjoys the life of the mind. At times you can feel a bit marooned on an island. But what we need to recognize is this. We glorify God. We obey the first and greatest commandment when we love God with our mind. We occasion, by the Spirit's power, transformation when our mind is renewed through the engagement of Scripture. We see, therefore, that thinking is not some kind of labor. It's not a chore. It's not a mere duty. It is a privilege given us by a kind and thinking, super intelligent God. Now that is a foundation for scholarship. Thanks for listening to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're so thankful you stopped by. We encourage you to continue to join the conversation at cpt.mbts.edu, the official website of the center. And we encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Join us in coming days as we continue the conversation on what it means to be the city of God in the city of man.